I was thinking about the message today. We're talking about being filled with the Spirit, and why would we want to do that, and what is that, and the results of that. But as I thought about that, I was thinking about, I was thinking about Caleb Miller. Caleb's like, whoa. Because you drive, right, Caleb? Yeah, so he's got his license. Well, what if I said that I would buy you and the guy sitting on either side of you Cane's Chicken after service today? What would you say about that? Yeah, he's real. He's right. He knows this is a trap, right? And so, but you have to take my car, okay? Good. And you have to push it. What do you think about that? He's not so sure about that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would think definitely twice about that too. I mean, it's just crazy, right? Wait, why push a car? It's a lot of effort, even if you can do it, right? Even if you can do it. I remember our first missions trip we ever took. We push started a bus. Try that. And of course, we had a whole team of people behind the thing. It was amazing. But anyway. You know, it doesn't make sense to push a car, right? It has an engine. You put in the key and boom, and it's just, you know, it's like almost effortless. And I was just thinking how, you know, if we try to live the Christian life and not be filled with the Spirit, it's kind of like pushing that car. It's like, well, yeah, you could do it. You can try. It's going to be it's going to be harder than it should be, right? And that's not to say that the Spirit-filled life is all a bed of roses either, to say that it's all easy. But if we really want to live the Christian life the way that it's meant to be lived, the way that God calls us to live it, we really need to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit and to follow that command. It's critical. It's critical. So let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on this portion of our service. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you do make provision for what you ask us to do. You don't just ask us to do all these things and give us commands and say do this and don't do that that kind of thing, but without providing us with the necessary resources spiritually to do that. And thank you that once we become a Christian, you give us the Holy Spirit, and it says you've given us every spiritual blessing that we need for life and godliness. And so we are so thankful for that. And Lord, help us to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit, and then to start living the Spirit-filled life if we have not been. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask if you would, if you're able to, why don't you go ahead and stand up with me. We sometimes do this in the reading of God's Word. It's in honor of God's Word. It's basically saying, well, you know, this is, we're submitting to this, not to some man. It's God's Word. And so if you want to, let's go ahead and read us together out loud here. It's Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. So let's read. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the Word of God. Please have a seat. So, you know, I think it's important for us to realize that, you know, a lot of people come into a church, or when they start thinking about Christianity, they really do think of a list of do's and don'ts, okay? And I want to preface this message today to explain to you just briefly that, you know, certainly there are things in the Scriptures that say do this, don't do that, right? And there are commands and so on. However, in the book of the Bible that we're in today, the book of Ephesians, what you need to realize is that all these lists of things, you know, put off this and put on this and do this and don't do that, comes after he explains to us who we are in Jesus Christ and all the resources we've been given. In other words, being precedes the doing, okay? Or some people say, like, the indicative precedes the imperative being the commands, the indicative being the being type of things, right? So who we are as Christians, our identity in Christ, having that and knowing that, understanding that really helps us carry out the things that he tells us to do, okay? So it's not like Christianity and following Jesus is some moral, ethical way of just living that you try, okay? I mean, certainly it is moral, it is ethical, but I'm saying this is something that we live out after we have been given his Spirit and after we've been rightly related to God. That's critical. If you're teaching a course, this is a prerequisite, right? For living out all these things in Ephesians chapters 4 through 6, carrying that out, all the way from the instructions for marriage, husband-wife relationships, parent-child relationships, work relationships, all those things require that you be rightly related to God, that you actually have a relationship with him. So I just want to say that's critical. All right. God gives us the resources, spiritually speaking, to do the things that he expresses in this book of Ephesians. Okay. So I think it's just really important that we understand that. So first off, just thinking about why be filled with the Spirit. Why be filled with the Spirit? So let's talk about that for a few minutes here in the book of Ephesians. Well, first of all, that chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, be filled with the Spirit, this is really just a matter of obedience, okay? Because when you look at that, that is a command, right? That word is a command. It's an imperative, okay? And so, really, being filled with the Spirit is something we must do. It's like any other command, right? And so, it's just not an optional thing. And also, we need to realize that, now, I'm not a scholar biblically, but I do know enough that I can look up the different tenses and moods of the verses in the Greek. And this particular verb is the present tense, which means it's not like a one-and-done thing. It's an ongoing thing, okay? It's not like, okay, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, now I'm filled with the Spirit, and that's it. No, it's an ongoing, moment by moment, day by day thing that we need to do. Okay, so this is not something that it will be. You know, we are just to differentiate terms because words mean things. Being baptized by the Spirit just means that you're a Christian. You've been placed into the body of Christ. Okay, that's baptism, is to be placed into. When you see somebody baptized, they're placed into the water, right? And so to be baptized by this Holy Spirit is just simply to be placed in Christ, to be placed in, and so you receive the Holy Spirit at that time, okay? And that's the baptism of the Spirit. But this filling, so the baptism occurs once in Christ. You become a Christian once, right? Once a Christian, always a Christian if you're a true Christian, okay? And so, but this idea, the biblical command to be filled is basically means to be being filled, be continually filled. This is something that we have to realize. It's an ongoing matter of attention in our lives and our walk with Jesus. Okay. Now, the other thing is that this particular verb is passive, which means this is done to us. Okay. I find it fascinating that I'm commanded to do something that I can't do. Okay, and we're going to get into how that works in a little bit here. But a passive verb means this is done to me. In other words, I don't fill myself. Something or someone, in this case outside of me, is filling me. Okay, and just again, I just keep wanting to clarify some things if you haven't been with us over the course of this series on the Holy Spirit. But you have all of the Spirit you're going to get when you become a Christian. You have all of him. Okay, so this filling is not like a quantity thing, okay? And see, as we get into this today, what I mean by that. But you have all the spirits you're going to get when you believe in Jesus, when you put your faith in him, all right? But this is a matter of, so it's not like he is, in a sense, filling me up, that I need the Spirit again and again and again. He's in me once I believe, okay? He's in me once I believe. So this is something that's done to me. Now, so we said this is a matter of obedience, but also we need to realize as we go through these, you know, like reasons to do this, and if obedience wasn't enough, okay, there's more. Okay, if it wasn't the fact that, you know, hey, if I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, I want to do that which pleases him, right? And so the command is the first thing. It is a command. It's a matter of obedience. But also, do you know what comes after all of this stuff in the book of Ephesians? Oh, I'm glad you asked. So we're going to talk about that, because after this comes a load of instructions on the Christian life. In particular, something that they would have called back then like the household code, right? How a husband and wife relate to each other, and those that work within your household, and all these things. Okay, so let's take a look here. And so look at some of these sections of Scripture in Ephesians that follow this command. So you have the command, and then you have other things that come after that, right? And you want to realize that what we're looking at in this passage is not in isolation. It has other things surrounding it, right? Context does matter. All right, so you take a look here. So first of all, you got in Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, you've got instructions for marriage relationship. Husbands, right, love your wives as Christ loved the church, right? And so, you know, in order to do that in a God-honoring manner and to actually carry that out to its fullest, we need to be filled with the Spirit, okay? And also, you know, wives in the same way, right? And so, and then also, when you get into chapter 6 in the first part, you have instructions of parents and children, right? So there's those relationships. And those relationships, if they're to operate the way they're meant to be, they need parents and kids to be filled with the Spirit, right? And live the Spirit-filled life. And then we've got some instructions about work and employer-employee type relationships. And that's the only application I can think of today when you talk about, you know, masters and slaves, which is what it was talking about there. Okay, it's, we try to apply that today would be more of an employer-employee relationship. Then you have spiritual battle. Let's talk about putting on the spiritual armor, right? And so if I'm going to be able to fight those battles spiritually, right, I have to be filled with the Spirit, all right? So I hope this makes sense of saying if I, all these instructions for us in living the Christian life that are here that he gives us, We have to be filled with the Spirit to actually do them in a God-honoring way. Then there's also witness. If you look in chapter 6, verse 19, Paul asks for prayer there, and he asks for prayer that he would be a bold witness, okay? And certainly, to be a bold witness for Christ, we need to be filled with the Spirit, okay? So all of this, you know, just shows us that we need to understand how to be filled with the Spirit so that we can live out our lives in a Christ-honoring way. All right? It's just critical. Okay. So how can I be filled with the Spirit? How can I be? So we've given some reasons why. It's a command, and then, you know, this is how we're going to live out the Christian life is to be filled with the Spirit. So how can I be filled with the Spirit? All right, so let's take a look here. The first thing is just to realize that being filled with the Spirit in this verse here in chapter 5, verse 18 is contrasted with being drunk, right? If you look back there at the verse, right, it says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but, right, instead, be filled with the Spirit. And so this contrast really shows us right then that, you know, so what happens when someone is drunk? Well, they're under the influence, don't we? They're under the control of alcohol, right? Now, they're under the control of alcohol, but they've kind of lost control, right? That's what happens. But they're under the influence of the alcohol. And so in a similar way, right, being filled with the Spirit is being directed, influenced, and governed by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means in a sense that to be filled with the Spirit is we are being directed and influenced and in a sense controlled by the Holy Spirit, okay, rather than our flesh, okay? So this is what it is. So it has with it here this idea of you know, so if that means that I am I am being influenced by the Spirit and directed by the Spirit. There, it implies kind of an idea that I'm yielded to the Spirit. I'm kind of, I want God to have his way in my life, right? It's not that I'm saying I want to do things my way, God, rather than yours way, your way. No, it's a yieldedness. It's a submitting to God, right? So another word that comes to mind is surrender, right? Surrender. If I surrender to someone, I let them have their way, basically. It's okay, whatever you want, you know. If you're getting held up and you surrender, you say, you know, take whatever you want, right? And so with the Spirit of God, right, if we want to be filled with the Spirit and yielded to him, we surrender. We say, okay, Lord, you have your way in me. So there is this attitude, if you will, a mindset that we need to have to be filled with the Spirit, okay? That we, it's a desire to be yielded to him, to want to do things his way, okay? To do things God's way. Now, you know, I mentioned how this command is passive, and it's so strange for us to be commanded to do something that is done to you, right? So how do we do that? And as I was studying this out, I found a passage in the book of Colossians that's so very similar. Okay, it is a different letter written to a different church. There's no question that they're different, okay? But they came from the same author, Paul, right? And Paul writing to these two different churches here, saying some very similar things. And so what I'd like to do is we're going to take a look at this Colossians 3 passage, and you're going to see a lot of similarities. But one thing you won't see are the words, be filled with the Spirit, okay? You're not going to see be filled with the Spirit, but what you will see are a lot of the similar results, okay? So let's take a look here. This is Colossians chapter 3, 16 to 24. I'll just read this for us here. I got it on the screen as well. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily. Whoa, I just lost that. Okay, I see. Whatever you do, do work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Do you see a lot of the same things coming out there, right? It says, you know, it talks about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and then it gives instructions to husbands and wives and instructions to parents. A lot of the same instruction, right? But what is missing there is the be filled with the Spirit. Instead, what does it say? Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So what I'm saying is, and I think what if you just put the two side by side, you realize that there is definitely a connection between being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the Word of God. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? Because the results are the same. Results are the same. And so I think this is important to see that there is a connection between us. If we're going to obey this command to be filled with the Spirit, there's a connection that we have to somehow learn what it means to let the Word of Christ richly dwell within us. Okay? This is critical. Critical, critical for us as believers. Okay? Now, so I want you to think for a minute. How might we take that Colossians 3, let me go back even to that verse there, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. How might we get the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly? Anybody? Read? Memorize? What's that? Listen. Yeah, listen. Yeah, listen to Bible teachers, right? Study it, right? Because studying it's a little more than just reading it, right? Yeah, do it, right? Do it. In fact, there's definitely places in the scripture where we see our understanding grows as we obey, right? Even John 14:21, right, which he says, whoever has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him, which means we grow closer to Christ as we obey, right? Well, how do we know to obey? We've got to know what it says, right? So we all of those things, different ways of getting the Word of God into our lives, is critical for letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. It doesn't, you know, I didn't really look the word up, but, you know, just think about the word richly. It doesn't have any sense of this it's being a little trickle, right? It's just saying, you know, get as much as you can get. Learn as much as you can. Not for the sake of just, like, information, right? But also just for transformation, right? For transformation. This is critical. You know, when you think about this, Romans 12:1 comes to my mind. This idea of, you know, obedience. And so we take the Word of God in. And here's the connection. I guess I just haven't explicitly stated it. But as we let the Word of Christ dwell within us richly, we are basically making space in our lives and in our hearts for the Holy Spirit to transform us. All right? To transform us. In fact, why don't you go ahead, let's just turn there in your Bibles. Let's go ahead and turn there to Romans chapter 12 in verse 1. So Romans 12:1 says, in the ESV, it says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. What does he say to do? To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then he says, so that's the yieldedness there. That's kind of like surrender. You offer yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice, saying, I'm yours, Lord. I want to do things your way, right? There's that attitude we're talking about that's critical to be filled with the Spirit. But then he says in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewal of your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And the renewing of our mind comes through letting the Word of God get into us, understanding it, letting the truth of it take root, and following it. That brings about transformation. That brings about change. That's being filled with the Spirit. Okay? That's being filled with the Spirit, is putting ourselves in a place where the Word of God is taking up resonance in us as we study it, as we understand it, as we learn to step out and obey it. It transforms our thinking, right? Because where does all behavior start anyway? Right up here, right in our minds, right? If you've got stinking thinking, you know, you need to change that by getting the Word of God in there. Right, because we listen to the lies of the enemy all the time. You know, we need to know what the truth is, and we need to combat those lies with the truth. And so, the transformation comes. The Word of God has a transforming effect on our lives. And I don't just mean like there's a difference, right, between just reading your Bible and reading it for transformation. Okay, so you know, and we all kind of. We all wrestle with that at different times, right? Sometimes you read the Word of God and you're like, I got nothing out of it. I mean, I know there's something there, but either I'm not getting it, or there's something wrong in me that's not being receptive to what it's saying or something. You know, we're all there, let's be honest, at times. But there also, as we read the Word of God looking for things, like you should ask questions. You should ask questions like, you know, what does this passage teach me about God the Father? What does this passage teach me about Jesus the Son? What does this passage teach me about, you know, God the Holy Spirit? Or is there something here that I'm to obey? Is there something here I'm to avoid? Is there something here that would help me in my marriage? Is there something here that would help me in my relationship with my kids? Is there something here that would help me at work? And you're on the lookout. You're on the lookout for application, okay, and truth. You want to learn to help transform your thinking to be in alignment with what God says, okay? Because then you will have the same results as it says there, right? You'll be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with melody in our heart to God. So there's joy, right, that comes from this, and all these other results that we'll talk about in a minute. But if you're not a person that's somehow getting into God's word, you know, and sometimes, you know, hey, and this is okay, by the way, you know, sometimes you will find a book that speaks to your heart, that brings scriptural truth to light, okay? And I know God has done that in my life a lot of times. There'll be a Christian author, and they are just basically illuminating the scriptures or showing me the application, and it resonates with my soul because it's something I'm going through right now. It resonates with, okay? And that's cool, all right? But make sure it's tied to the word somewhere, okay? And I think we do need a regular diet of scripture, right? Because we want to make sure that the word is what our lives are based on, not even someone else's opinion, okay? So let's talk about. So God's word, think about this. God's word does God's work by God's Spirit. There's the relationship between the Word of God and the Spirit of God, right? Wasn't it the Holy Spirit who actually inspired or moved these men to write down what they wrote, right? That's the same Spirit. The same Spirit that did that is in us, right? And so it should be no surprise that the Word and the Spirit are working together, all right, in this Spirit-filled life that we're talking about, okay? This Spirit-filled life, it's related. So spiritual fullness is discovered on the path to obedience to the Word of God. There's something I ran across also in looking at this. You know, when you talk about being filled with the Spirit and you do a study on this and you start looking at other places, and by the way, just a little side here, that phrase in Ephesians 5:18, this is the only place it occurs. As it is written. It's the only place, which makes it difficult to like figure out exactly what it is. Right? I mean, be filled with the Spirit. It's the only time that occurs. Okay? Now there are other places, and we're going to look at one in a minute, where we'll see, like in the book of Acts or other places where it says, and they were filled with the Spirit, okay, and then something happened, right? So let's take a look at one of those places, and it's in Acts chapter 4. So Acts chapter 4, so let's take a look there. Acts chapter 4, and we'll take a look starting at verse 23. So this is right after some believers who had been imprisoned for sharing their faith, for being a witness for Jesus. So they had been in prison, now they've been released. So now it says in verse 23, and actually the heading in my Bible, it says, the believers pray for boldness. So it says, when they were released, this is Acts 4:23, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of the father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats, because they were threatened as they left. You know, you shouldn't speak any more about these things. Keep it quiet, okay? Right? So he says, look upon their threats, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So what are they asking for? I find this fascinating. They didn't really ask to be filled with the Spirit. What did they ask for? Boldness. The situation that was in front of them required boldness, right? And they're like, God, we know you don't want us to not talk about you. You've told us to spread the word. We can't not talk about you, right? They may be telling us not to, right? But they're saying, we can't do that, right? You've commanded us, Lord, to do this. And so they're asking for boldness to obey. And so what happens, it says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. I mean, would that freak you out or what? You're praying for boldness and all of a sudden, you know, that is crazy. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And I just find this really interesting. It says they were filled with the Spirit, not even in really asking for that to happen, but in asking for help for obedience. Okay? So think about this. Let's make this connection back with letting the word of Christ richly dwell within you. As you get into the word of God, as that scripture illuminates things in your life that are not in alignment with God's, and as you ask him to help you obey that which he shows you, you're filled with the Spirit. As you step out and do it, as you step out in faith and you obey, he will fill you. Okay? Because you're yielded. You want to be influenced by the Spirit. You want to be helped by the Spirit. I mean, he meets you there. All right? And so I think there's definitely a direct link here, because we already mentioned that the linkage between the Word of God and being filled with the Spirit. And here we have an instance where they're asking for help and obedience in their situation. And what does it say? Well, as a byproduct, they were filled with the Spirit so they could do what they needed to do. Do you think you need to be filled with the Spirit to love your husband? Yeah, I see every wife around here going, you're darn right we do. I need a double portion today. Right? Yes, we do. We do, man. We all do. To do relationships, because we are so stinking sinful and selfish and, you know, self-centered. It's just, we're still, even though we're Christians, we still fight our flesh, right? It's still there. It's going to be there till Jesus comes back. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And so here's my challenge to you. You, as you get into the Word of God and you let it richly dwell within you this week, today even, you say, Lord, you show me something that maybe I'm not believing about you, or something you want me to do. Because sometimes it's just something to believe. Maybe you've believed a lie about God. Maybe you believe about a lie about who he says you are as his child. And those are things to just simply believe, not do. Those are being things. But then there are sometimes that he shows you there's something that you're not doing that he wants you to do. I just remember one time I was taking, so I got my undergraduate in math education. I was also thinking maybe I'll get a minor in science ed or something like that. And so I was starting to take some science classes. And so I was taking this astronomy class at Ohio State. And I mean, there's nothing about God in that. I mean, there is certainly in astronomy, but not in the study of it there, okay? There was, you know, if anything, it was quite the opposite, right? And so I just remember one day, it was actually one night, because it was the night before, the Lord was like, Greg, you need to share your testimony in front of that whole class. I said, that must have been the pizza I had tonight. I don't think that's the Lord telling me to do that. It must be the pizza. You know, because, you know, campus pizza, it can do some things to you. We won't go there. Lord, help me. I confess, I'm sorry. So, but anyway, so I, you know, hey, I'm not your open-air preacher guy, okay? That freaks me out. I've done it one time. That's probably the only reason why, that's probably why I did it once, you know? It was like, And I just, it just freaks me out to do that. I mean, I'm a lot better one-on-one. And so, but I was like, okay, I really feel like the Lord is impressing this upon me. And so before the class started, and probably for my own sake, before the professor showed up, I got up and just said, hey, you know, there's a lot more to what's going on in astronomy than what's ever shared in this course. And that's that there's a God behind all of that. And then I said, let me tell you about that God and what he's done for me. And I just, best I could, I fumbled it out, shared it out there. You know, nobody got down on their knee and confessed their sin. And I don't know what, but you know, a couple of believers came up to me afterwards and it kind of like encouraged them or whatever. But anyway, I'm just saying that the Lord will put things on your heart as you spend time in his word. And he really wants us, you know, to just step out and believe him and trust him and obey him in those things. Now, this was a little more of a subjective thing. I sense the leading there. But when it comes to black and white things in Scripture, right, and obeying those things, and as you come to the Word of God with humility and a hunger to say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to do your will because I love you and I want to do that which is pleasing to you. As we do that, he's faithful. He is faithful, right, to show us things. And so that our test in is, when it comes to being filled with the Spirit, is to step out and obey, just like those guys in Acts chapter 4. There's like, Lord, we know we need to keep speaking about you, but we're afraid. I mean, that wasn't said, but hey, let's get real. Why ask for boldness? Because you don't have it, right? They had it, then they were warned, you know, they're pulled into the governing official's office, and they said, you will not speak anymore in this name. I mean, that's going to rattle your cage, right? And so I hope you're seeing the connection here. Right, between the Word of God, obedience, and being filled with the Spirit. They relate to each other. They weave together here, okay? It's not just, you know, so when we talk about how it's a passive verb, you know, be filled with the Spirit, what we're doing is we're really, it's a yieldedness that as we step out and obey and live our lives the way Christ wants to, he fills us with his Spirit. He empowers us with his Spirit. He directs us by his Spirit. He changes you. He changes me. You know, and I heard not too long ago from somebody that's been coming to our church for a while now, somebody observed the change in their life. They noticed, what has gotten into that person? Well, the Holy Spirit's gotten into that person. You know, and so you just praise the Lord, you know. That's all God. And you know, if we're a Christian, if we know God, we, and the Holy Spirit says, over time, transformation's going to happen. Change is going to happen. So, the Word of God definitely plays a role in this being filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to take a look at some of the results. We're kind of back to Ephesians 5 again there in this passage where it talks about, let me just remind us here. Let me kind of get back there myself. Back to 5:18 and 4 there. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. That's verse 18. Then it says, addressing one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. By the way, again, not a scholar here, but this is one long sentence, verses 18 to 21. One long sentence, all right? And the ESV puts it that way. It's one, I mean, there's one period through all these verses, 18 to 21. So these all relate, starting off with the command to be filled with the Spirit, right? And so this tells us what the results of living the Spirit-filled life are. Okay, so let's take a look. Well, the first one is praise. Our relationship with God is transformed. We're filled with joy, right? It says addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I thought about that. When we, and by the way, this is a plural command, versus something that we're all to do, okay? And so we what we're supposed to do here is when we sing here, right? Some of the songs we sing are obviously directed to God. The wording is definitely speaking to God, right? Some of the songs are about God, but it's really us speaking to each other and reminding us of who God is, reminding us what he's done for us, right? So it's kind of like speaking to one another, right? In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So as we worship, you know, as we're filled with the Spirit, I mean, how great is it when believers who are living the Spirit-filled life praise together, okay? And that's what he calls us to do, right? Because it's interesting, because doesn't it say here, singing and making melody to the Lord with your lips? Nuh-uh, Pastor, it's not what the Bible says. Come on, Bereans, where are you? Right? No, it says, no, making melody to the Lord with your heart. Isn't worship really primarily a heart thing? Yeah, it is. It's a heart thing. What we will do is we will say, Lord, and if our heart's not in the right place, then we know what to pray about, don't we? Right? Because I'll be honest, man, I'm the first one sometimes when I stand up and turn around. It's like, I know what those words say. Right now, I'm having a hard time believing it. Right now, I'm not feeling it. And I think we're all that way sometimes when we come to worship together. So the prayer would be, Lord, change me. Lord, make me be in that place where I'm trusting the truth of those words, right? And so as we live our Spirit-filled lives, as we yield to the Holy Spirit and take his word, step out and obey, and we're filled, it transforms our relationship with God, right? You are praising the Lord with your whole heart, and you just do. So that's one result there that we see in verse 19, right? Praise results from being filled with the Spirit. Another one has to do with our circumstances. And that's here in verse 20 of Ephesians 5, where it says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Does anybody need help giving thanks today? I do. I mean, if you do, this is saying, okay, well, what we need to do is say, let's pursue what the Lord wants us to be doing, right? And asking him to help us in obeying him and whatever it is, so that we might be able to give thanks in our present circumstances. And really, it's not like we're saying, oh, thank you, Lord, that I have a valve that doesn't work in my heart. That's not what it's saying. No, it's basically, you know, this kind of a thanksgiving is more of a, I trust you. You know, I trust you, Lord. I know that somehow, you know, this is going to work out for your good and for your glory. But I don't know what those results are, okay? I give thanks to you that whatever you're doing, I know ultimately will be for your praise and glory, okay? But it's not some kind of morbid, oh, I'm so glad that I'm hurting right now. That's not what it is. Okay. But it does, being filled with the Spirit enables us to respond in this way. And it's still a battle. No question. You know, there are things that we go through, and some of you are going through right now, that are so challenging that just nobody could imagine but you. Right? But we need to ask for the Lord's help. As we're filled with his Spirit, he gives us grace to give thanks. Another aspect here has to do in our relationships with each other, our relationships with one another. Boy, you know, when I'm not filled with the Spirit, I'm very irritable. I can get angry. I can, have a short fuse. I've never gotten, like, violent or anything, but, you know, hey, I'm human. So when I'm not filled with the Spirit, you know, basically take all the fruit of the Spirit and just invert it, you know. right? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I think I got them all. Goodness? Yeah, forgot goodness. Thank you. I didn't want to be good, apparently. Yeah. It's good, Steve. Thank you. So You know, when I am filled with the Spirit, those traits are in me and they're flowing out in my relationships, right? So if I'm not filled with the Spirit, I'm not going to be gentle typically in my words and how I treat others around me. But if I am filled with the Spirit, I am going to be and will be able to do this submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another. It's kind of, you know, when we have this posture of just humility towards each other and we are filled with the Spirit, we're experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, we'll be able to have these kinds of relationships that the Scriptures talks about. And I even think this 5:21 is even a setup for what follows there with husbands and wives and the household code there, as we talked about before. But you know, when you have a husband and wife who are submitted to the Lord, who are expressing to one another this the roles that Scripture lays out there, when that happens, it's such a stark contrast, and it's such a beautiful thing, actually, and people actually take notice of that, and there's much opportunity to share about the God behind all of that when we're able to. So being filled with the Spirit is going to help us in these various relationships. The results there that we see in verses 19 to 21. Okay, so let's go ahead. Let's stand up, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to close in prayer here, and then we'll sing a few songs here in leaving. But I just want to pray that the Lord would help us in this area of our lives. Heavenly Father, We're grateful that you again empower us to live the kind of life that you've called us to. Whether we're single or married, whatever our quote status is, Lord, we know that you will provide for us everything we need to live a godly life, whatever that status is. And We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have this attitude of yieldedness. And even, Lord, I know that if we are willfully sinning against you, and you know we know it and we're not doing anything about it, I know that can also prevent us from really experiencing the Spirit-filled life. And so, Lord, if there's anything that comes to mind today that we need to resolve to get right with you or others, Lord, I pray that we do that. But Lord, I do pray that you would impress upon us the need to letting the Word of Christ richly dwell within us so that we could experience the Spirit-filled life and bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, that our praises might be filled with your Spirit, and that we might be able to give thanks in all circumstances, and that we might be able to lovingly submit to one another and enjoy those kinds of relationships. Lord, we need your help. So we ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.